Welcome, everyone. This is the Ontology Summit 2012 postmortem. It's Thursday, April 26th, 2012. Welcome. I think we had a very successful Ontology Summit this year, and if you are bringing up the slides, Nicola is actually cannot attend today, but sends his best wishes. Looking at slide two, the agenda, this is basically the same as on the today's conference call page. I'll have an introduction kind of summary, and that'll be followed by a discussion that's moderated by Ram, and then the additional agenda items as mentioned. Then we'll wrap up. Before that, of course, we want to make sure that we get the word out about endorsing the communique. We'll remind you at the end too, and your communities. Slide three. This is a kind of a recap of the ground we covered. We launched the virtual summit on January 12th of this year. We had a little over 3 months of online discussion, many session panels, and many presentations and discussions in the distribution list. We culminated on April 18th and 19th. Well, actually, the date's wrong there. Sorry. On April 12th and 13th, 2012, at NIST, for the face-to-face symposium, which included then again our final discussion, arrival at consensus, and the presentation of our communique and the beginning of the endorsements of it. Slide four. We thank the co-organizers, Ontolog, NIST, EMCORE, NCBO, IAOA, and of course, NITRD. Thanks again, folks. Slide five. The goal is just to kind of repeat from the early days and reiterated at the symposium. The goal this year was basically to bring together and foster collaboration between the oncology community, systems community, and the stakeholders, at least of some of the big systems. The intent and success, I think, was to explore, identify, and articulate how ontological methods can bring value to the various disciplines required to engineer a big system. Slide six. This is essentially the structure of our discourse over the past three or so months. We focused on a number of different tracks, including this combined track one and two, ontology for big systems and systems engineering. It was felt early on that these should be combined because their concerns were really overlapping. We had a second track challenge, ontology and big data, and some of the big data proponents and adherents provided us with some insight into how big data is being handled and how ontologies can affect big data. We also focused on a large-scale domain applications track, and we received a lot of information about large-scale systems that are trying to use ontologies, and some of their issues and problems. We had a cross-track on ontology quality and large-scale systems. Found out that ontology really can provide value at a number of different phases of life cycle of systems, and that value, the quality and value of an ontology is important and perhaps changes across those stages. We also looked at and heard from the Ontology for Federation and Integration of Systems track that really focused on interoperability issues with particular emphasis on federation. And of course, the end result of our activities after we had compiled the individual track information and had the virtual sessions, multiple discussions, and email was the communique, which has now been finalized and is in the process of getting endorsed for the next couple weeks or so. I believe it's May 12th. We'll continue to seek endorsements. And we invite everyone to share with your own communities and invite endorsements from them. We also had a public relations media kit prepared this year, and there is a new site, and if you go to the site for the Ontology Summit 2012, you see a pretty good exposition of what an ontology is for a general populace, if you will, general audience. And we thank the folks that supported that and participated in that. We have some ongoing activities. They began during the summit, and they're largely continuing. The ontology survey with experiences with ontology quality and big systems, I think it's finalized, and they're still seeking participation in that survey. There's some, I understand, some preliminary statistics on that, but I'll leave that till the track chairs for later. We also have an Ontology for Big Systems library, if you will, a bibliography that crosses the track interests for the Ontology Summit of this year. And I think that'll be a growing resource and a potential resource for future summits. We have a new activity that we'll hear about in a little bit that's just beginning called the Model Benchmark Challenge to kind of continue the collaboration between ontologists and systems engineers through the year. Slide 7, please. Again, big thanks to all of our organizing committee, and you know who you are, and the larger community expresses their appreciation, too. Thank you. Slide 8, a few statistics. We try to capture some statistics every year from these ontology summits, and we wanted to express at least what we've captured so far as of this morning. So, for example, the number of organizers, co-organizers, the committee members, and you see that the legend at the bottom shows a kind of differential, whether things remain the same, they increased or decreased, at least compared to last year. Advisory committee members, 93, that's down. Co-sponsors, 73, up. I won't go through all of these statistics, but you'll see that it ranges over the number of organizing sessions, email, the virtual sessions, the registrants at the symposium, and current, for example, communique endorsements. We have some that have, some of these statistics have decreased this year, and we're not sure of the reason for that, but I kind of think one of the reasons might be that We've gotten pretty specific this year, focusing on systems, big systems, and systems engineering. And I actually think that this is a good evolution in a sense, because we're seeking applications now. We're trying to demonstrate the collaboration among communities. In the past, we've more focused on ontology-specific aspects, if you will. So we may encounter this decrease whenever we try to focus on specific aspects. But I think that overall, the participation has actually been much better this year. We've gotten a lot more content. The interactions have been excellent. The organization has been good among the organizing committee members and the track chairs. The presentations, we've expanded really across to include other countries who we haven't included in the past. And I think one of those, for example, is Russia, who has participated very strongly in this summit. Next slide, slide 9. Just a kind of high-level recap of our experience this year. So we kind of experienced both exhilaration and friction. We had three diverse communities coming together, and we engaged on this common topic of interest to us all. Sometimes we talked past each other, as is probably natural when communities with different perspectives come to an interchange. But we also had a lot of, if you will, confluences, agreements, and we made definite progress. We had dedicated, technically focused track champions who really kept us moving. And, you know, I can't underscore the value of, you know, dedicated leaders, especially when this is a open and vastly distributed effort over many months. We count on our community and our community leaders to assist us. Thank you. We had great session chairs and panelists who provided us with insight into different perspectives. And even though we got sidetracked, perhaps on the distribution list a little, and we spawned off discussions into the Ontolog Forum, because it became a little more extraneous to our focus, they're still very welcome and interesting spin-offs, if you will. And there was a lot of good content on the Ontology Summit track that assisted us in making progress at our final, you know, resolution of the content. So I guess we came to agreement, and we, in some things, we still disagreed, which is natural. Slide 10 is just a picture. I think that we'll hear a couple other positions on the notion of ontology of systems, and I expect that to continue through the year, both in the new modeling effort that's beginning and also in discussions that the Ontology Summit has brought up, and issues and problems that have been raised. Sometimes we have difficulties when we're building ontologies. We're focused on real world objects and categories. Well, in the system world, in the system of systems world, they use different aspects of the real world. So, if you will, looking at the center, a set of rectangles, plan, specification, realization, we know that the systems typically begin with a quasi-plan, if you will. Use cases, requirements, analysis kind of feed into that. At a certain point, a design, if you will, or a specification is created. So that plan really gets kind of specified, instantiated, vastly refined. And then at a certain point, it gets realized when you build a system. And the realization of that system requires, again, design, engineering, implementation, eventual full life cycle. All three aspects require preservation of notions of function and environment, which perhaps exist outside of the system that's being built, but impinges on it. And of course, we know that the specifications and realizations can be multiply realized. So there's multiple instances of specifications and multiple realizations possible. And in fact, there's multiple plans too. So the big picture is complex, but I think that we're kind of on our way into this discussion, this conversation between ontologists and systems engineers. And I like to see it continue. Slide 11, next slide. Where are we? Well, I think ontologists better understand the complexity that systems engineers have to address across full system life cycle. So we, ontologists, and I include myself, but I'm also partially a systems engineer, computer scientist. That's something that I've appreciated, the input from the systems engineers this year. I think systems engineers now understand better the value, difficulties, and promise of using ontologies to support their engineering of systems and systems of systems. And I think the big system stakeholders better understand really the different technical backgrounds and dedication in different ways, technical dedication of the systems engineers and ontologists, and their desire to provide great technical value to these big system stakeholders. We all understand more the technical difficulty, but really the necessity for ontology and system federation to address complex semantic interoperability of our systems. And we also know more about the value and necessity of ontology quality, especially across system life cycles. Slide 12, please. Here's our follow-on actions. We want to make sure that people endorse the communique that shows, demonstrates, you know, a consensus perspective and provides value and insight into the external community for us in our three communities. We want to make sure that people complete the ontology survey, use the bibliography, the big systems library, if you will, that's been developed. Join in modeling the benchmark challenge. And of course, in this, later in our discussion, let's consider next year's topic for the ontology summit theme. And at a certain point, the communique will be in Applied Ontology, published by IOS Press. But finally, I think we want two things. We want to understand that we have to value and maintain our three community interchange that we began this year and hopefully continue through the years. And also, we want to preserve the openness of our forum and the Ontology Summit. There's a lot of distractions sometimes, but the value of open interchange is very high and is worth preserving. Okay, that's all from me, folks. Thank you. And I'd like to introduce Ram now, Sri Ram, who will open up a conversation about this year's summit.
Leo, thanks a lot for that excellent summary. This is Ram here again. And I guess I'm supposed to moderate the postmortem of this year's summit. And Leo, first of all, you've done an excellent job. And I'm not sure how much moderation is to be done now. But anyway, I think some of the things that questions that we need to kind of at least ask the community here is that I think they pointed out in that slide that you see what worked well and what didn't this year, and what we should we be doing differently next year, and any other good ideas, suggestions, and other things that you can think of. So what I'm going to do is to probably, let's see how we should do this. I think you have the little handout there, and whoever wants to speak should, I think Steve Ray is the first one there. And then probably I'll give you maybe, in the interest of time, about 2 or 3 minutes each person to kind of comment on this thing. And since this is visibly either recorded or you can type it in the chat. Peter, I guess this is all being recorded, which can be transcribed later on, I guess.
Yes, it is all recorded, but we still want anyone who had made some substantive comments to capture that onto the chat space as well.
Before that, one of the things that I would like to also point out is that we had an excellent summit, and one thing we need to do is that how can we ensure the continuity of these discussions, and not only that, how can we make sure that the word is spread far and wide. The summit webpage is an excellent webpage, and we need to kind of figure out how you market this. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Ram. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a couple of comments which kind of speak to that. One is, I'm in light of how can we, in fact, reach out so that the Ontology Summit, and for that matter, the discussions in the Ontolog Forum, aren't just ontologists talking to ontologists. And obviously this year was a good example of us trying to reach out to the systems engineering community. I think that in the long run, the lasting benefits would be these marriages, if you like, these cross-discipline hybrid activities, joint projects, things like that. So in that light, I would suggest, for example, we might want to consider in the future ontology summit sessions held in concert with other organizations, whether it's in COSI or other disciplinary organizations. We could have both virtual and, for that matter, symposium, you know, face-to-face sessions, perhaps at those other organizations' meetings, because ontology is only as good as it is applied to real problems. So I think we're at the stage now where the technology is ready for prime time, and so we need to think about a lot of applied activities. And I think I'm personally feeling good about the NCOSI involvement, especially of Henson Graves this year. We could do even better, I think, if we perhaps co-organize something with NCOSI. And in fact, Henson, I don't know what how nailed down your NCOSI publication is, but you know, asking NCOSI people to examine and possibly endorse our communique and draw in that community more tightly. So I guess in the short term for NCOSI anyway, you know, endorsements would be good. Joint activities with all kinds of different disciplines would be really good for the long run, I think. So I'll type some of that in the chat. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And before we get further, like, I'm seeing some comments also on the chat. You can also kind of articulate it to the rest of the community if you'd like. And before we get to the next speaker, we'd also like to thank some of the sponsors of the food and other nourishing activities during the summit. And I believe we had two sponsors, Corey and Franz. Franz, yes. Steve, can you correct me on that?
Right.
Yeah, so we have two sponsors. And the other thing that which Steve, you just pointed out in terms of trying to get this ontology summit along with other major conferences, is that one of your thoughts there? Or is it have some, or convince the conference folks to have a panel session or something like that, and we present the summit proceedings of the ontology summit? Steve, just a clarification there.
Sorry, I actually, right after I finished speaking, I lost the phone, so I just got back on. So could you repeat?
Well, I was just wondering, like, your thought about having the ontology summit in conjunction with INCOSI or some other big conference.
Uh-huh.
Is that your thought for in terms of having the ontology summit itself,
right.
Not at NIST, but those places are... the other thing is to have a session in one of these places where we can summarize the proceedings of the on the summit.
Yeah, I guess it was the more modest of the two, having a session as the first step, but we could explore, I guess, both of those options.
Okay. Anyway, Michael, you're next.
Yeah, I just had just some comments as one of the symposium co-organizers. In terms of the kind of the format of the second day. So I think the first day is pretty traditional, and it works. It's been working pretty well, particularly over the years as we are better able to control a lot of the tangents and wordsmithing. But I kind of noticed on the second day, because you're at the point where you really don't want to open up a lot of new discussion, after lunch, really didn't do very much. Because the communique is essentially done and no one, you know, really wants to open it up again. And so we had a lot of time left over at the end of the day, whereas in the morning things felt a little more rushed. I don't know if it was because I was trying to keep track of time and keep everyone up to pace, but, and so maybe a suggestion could be that, you know, just if we just admit that the actual endorsement of the communique is very pro forma and could basically begun in the last half hour at 4 o'clock, and therefore kind of allow more time at the symposium for kind of wide open discussion. So, say driven by the panel, I felt this year that with the panel, I thought the panel was a good idea. It probably having one speaker, one panelist be virtual was a little bit of a problem, but I thought the panel worked out very well, and there was a lot of discussion that people wanted to have. But we really had to keep things tight in order to keep on time. And so if we had a longer period of wide open discussion, say generated by a panel, I think that would be good. And the demonstrations I thought went very well. I think we maybe need to do a little more time management, a better time management next year. Again, be more realistic in terms of how long demos actually take instead of trying to fit N demos into X number of minutes.
Thank you, Michael. And also, if anyone has any comments on the conference facilities, I can pass it along to them so that in case we have it next year here, they can improve. Leo?
Yeah, I just want to underscore Michael's suggestion. I think that the panels, the demos, and occasionally when we have invited speakers outside that venue, I think that probably should be the focus of the second day. Pretty much, we've evolved towards really resolving the communiques in advance, with the first day focusing on any additional issues. But for all intents and purposes, after that first day, the communique is completed, and therefore having a more of a workshop format, if you will, that second day I think would be useful, and not rethinking our afternoon session. I see that Frank Wolken made a suggestion in the chat, and I invite Frank to discuss that a little bit. He's suggesting maybe moving the venue to closer to Washington, D.C., and I just wondered to get what his thoughts are on that.
Okay, Frank, you're next. Frank?
Star 7, I think.
Actually, let's see. Before that, Amanda is there. But anyway, Frank, can you address this thing and then we'll go to Amanda? Frank, you have to do Star 7.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I find getting out to NIST to be fairly inconvenient because I usually fly into Dulles and fly back out of Dulles and wind up getting in late at night. So I would suggest we either do it possibly in Arlington. There's a Westin Hotel next to the Metro, the Boston Metro Station and NSF that we use for meetings. There's the Riverview Conference Center in Roslyn. There's probably a lot. There's George Washington University in downtown D.C. Near Foggy Bottom, and there are a whole slew of places over in Crystal City that I think we could use. They'd be a little more expensive in terms of the conference room, but I think. For people flying in and people in downtown D.C., I think it'd be much more convenient. Somewhere near a metro stop.
Okay. Steve, do you have any comments on that before we go further? Steve or Peter?
Yeah, actually, I think Todd is making a good point, which is the cost. I mean, Ontology Summit has been, taking advantage of the fact that the NIST costs are containable compared to a hotel or a conference, which would be make the cost go much higher. Anyway, that's my thought.
Yeah. Anyway, for that, again, this is Ram here. In fact, we kind of NIST conference facilities charges about $30 for each participant registered, and I kind of take care of that at this stage. So we could charge conference fees to people. But again, that's left to the community to agree or not agree on that. And even at NIST, we are having some new rules regarding conferences and new directives from the Department of Commerce, depending on, based on what has happened in the recent past at GSA. Amanda, I think you are waiting to talk, unless Peter has something which is connected to this line of thought.
Yes. I just wanted to mention something that you mentioned to me during the symposium, was that we had people registered who did not show up. Actually, quite a huge portion in comparison. And since NIST gets charged by registration, so we definitely want to ask people not to register unless they want to show up. And the tendency is, because it's free of charge, people would say, let me register first. And we even discussed whether or not we should charge people, not so much in creating a revenue, but making sure people don't sort of casually register themselves. So this is something people might want to take note. So
I'll also check with NIST in terms of what they have done this year. Okay, Amanda, you're next.
Okay, this is Amanda. My suggestion, it's one that I actually raised this year, but too late to do anything about. Reflecting on some of the points that Michael was making about the end of the meeting and things that have happened previous years where there's been a lot of end-of-meeting energy and sort of desire to look forward on not just the big topic but specific smaller follow-ons, that it could be very beneficial to schedule a third day, which isn't a formal meeting day but rather is a workshops day, which could include anything from people working together while they're co-located to start some collaborations or coordinate something, all the way to people who, doing vocamp style rapid group development of small vocabularies of small ontologies that have come as that are related to the year's topic. And I think it takes, it's a way to both build the follow on, the continuing energy, and to take advantage of people being there and focused. That's it.
Okay. So who else do we have now? Peter, do you have your hand up or next card?
Yes, I actually do want to make a couple of comments, but one simple one first. NIST has been making the recordings, so I just sort of friendly prompt to Ram or maybe Steve, who is communicating with the NIST AV folks, that I don't believe I have received the recordings from this yet.
Okay, I will follow up on that, Peter.
All right. The next point I want to make, I actually hate to make this because it has created a lot of distraction already, but I wanted to a platform to at least state my position. I know for those who know, I mean, this is related to Brent Neeman publishing a draft communique on a website that he calls Ontology Summit 212 communique site without our consent and in some violation of intellectual property licensing. But that aside, I got misunderstood, and I even got hate mail saying, I mean, why are you doing this? I mean, is this a pissing contest or something? The bad part is Brent Neeman sort of prefaced his quote-unquote copied Ontology Summit communique with a small passage saying, effectively saying ontology is somewhat useless. So I get misunderstood by saying, with people thinking that, oh, Peter probably doesn't want anyone to badmouth ontology, and when they do it, he gets really mad and try to shut them down. That actually wasn't the case. I am an open advocate, and I want everyone to have their chance and their to speak freely. What it was really annoying and infuriating actually was the fact that, one, this was done in a fairly unethical way, and of course, being unethical is not legally at fault. So I can't corner Brand that way, and the only recourse I have is to sort of get him in small technicalities, like the fact that we said, I mean, if you copy our stuff, you should use the Creative Commons license that we use, because we specify you should share this share alike, and he totally ignored that. So I wanted to make sure people understand that I wasn't getting at Brand because he badmouths ontology, but I think he's actually rotting the very underpinning of open collaboration, and that is a point that I really wanted to fight. That's it.
Okay, Peter, and I think all this, you have documented that in your emails, and I think we should probably take this offline and discuss this a little more later on.
Definitely. I don't even want to discuss it anymore.
Yeah, let's go to Todd.
Yes.
Todd, I don't think, Todd, you got to do star 7 there. You might have lost Todd. Anyone else? Todd?
Yes, thank you, Ram.
Yep.
I forgot about star 7. I just hit the mute button. Okay. A little follow-on point, which is not the primary point, to what Peter said. And Brand's argument is sort of sufficiently unsubstantiated, and for any of those in the audience who have some spare time and you want to write a little short dissertation as to why it's nonsense, you should. But the main point I wanted to make was a follow-on to what Amanda was suggesting, and the other item issue that Michael brought up about the lot of extra time we had on Friday afternoon. Well, during the discussions, we did raise the issue of what should be the subject for the following year summit, and it might be a constructive use of people's times since, as Amanda pointed out, there's a lot of energy in the audience, to start engaging a discussion of those particular subjects or suggestions. That's all.
Okay, I think given we should probably, we have a few more minutes, and Terry is wants to talk, I guess, Terry. And one of the things I would like to do is to kind of end this around 1:30, I guess.
Terry.
Is that okay, Peter? Because we have a few more things to go before our 2:30.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
this is Terry. I put a suggestion on the chat board, but it's kind of disappeared. I'd like to see at least one part of next year's summit discussing all of the previous summits, you know, with just kind of short where we are with the topics of that year and what has come of it and is it still active or ongoing. It's just a 7-year retrospective. You might want to make this a permanent part of the website, keeping track of where those topics have gone. That's all.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, Terry, I don't know why you typed in message is gone. Could you retype that? Because, that's a good point. And also
it's a 1304.
No, he has it. It has its topic for next 7 year retrospective, perhaps tied to a new website page. It's there on the chat.
Okay, great. And also for everybody's, information there, we have another open discussion segment that looks into the future as well. This mainly looks into the past.
Okay. Corey? Again, *7, please. Looks like Corey is having some issues.
Yeah, I typed a note into the chat window a bit ago, about the kind of the initiation of the virtual sessions, and as the message was refined, we had some good discussions in the organizational meetings about refining the message. Once that happened, the time frame between that and the start of the virtual sessions was very short, and I don't think the word really got out. And once we really refine a message, putting effort into, putting a web page together with that message, refined message, make it very clear how the virtual sessions work and what's to be expected from them, and how these other communities can engage would be very valuable. I think this would take more time between that initial planning session and the start of the virtual session. And that would also give a little more time once the organization was done to put together the right speakers and that type of thing. So I would encourage a little more planning and outreach time.
Ram, can you hear me?
Yeah, is that Ravi? But Ravi,
yeah.
I think we have Leo on the
I don't have
question queue.
I don't have
I think you're not on chat though, are you?
I cannot be on chat. I'm in a facility which doesn't allow all this access.
Oh, okay. So, Leo, do you want...
Robbie, why don't you go first?
Yeah.
Oh, just a quick comment on especially relating to INCOSI. There are related forums and certainly systems engineering, systems integration, where there would be a lot of value to the overlap between ontology constructs and enterprise architecture constructs. And so I see a lot of synergy going forward, and I welcome the suggestion of at least someone briefing on what we've been doing in ontology summits, especially the last one. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you, Ravi. Leo?
Yes. I wanted to ask folks what they thought about our focus this year. In our first few sessions, we got some comments that it seemed like our focus was not as strong on particular topics this year as in the past. I think we evolved through the year, through the summit, but I wonder what people think. Do you think that our focus suffered?
I have a feedback, Leo. A quick one. I think two things came out very clearly. One was big data and one was systems engineering. The others may have more inputs for you. Thank you.
Okay, Leo?
No, sorry. I'm just lowering my hand.
Again, this is Ram here. Now, one of the things is that one suggestion which I guess Bobbin made is how about having the next one in the Silicon Valley, and maybe we can discuss that later on in terms of the location. Okay? So, I think we should end this particular session at this stage and go to the next item on the agenda, which is ongoing follow-up activities, and I turn this over to Leo. I guess you are moderating the whole one.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Ram. We'll kind of continue this conversation after some of the discussion here on follow-up activities. First of all, we're going to have Todd and Ali describe a little bit about the communique and the next steps with that. Todd and Ali?
Oh, okay. Are you showing the slides, Peter?
It's up now.
Okay, for some reason I can't get VNC to cooperate. Ali, you there? Ali?
Yes, I am.
Oh, excellent, good. Okay, so the follow-on actions that I'm aware of, I think Ali has agreed to, is we have to move the communicate content from the fancy page to the wiki page. We have to review the list of endorsers, and I want to thank Peter for doing most of the work of actually compiling that list of endorsers. We have to solicit additional endorsements, and I believe Peter sent out an email last night asking each of the track chairs, and or for that matter, anyone else, to personally encourage anyone in your interest area or other groups to review that communique and see if they feel that they can endorse it. And then the last item that I'm aware of is we need to prepare the communique for the IAOA journal. And if there's something I'm missing, please let us know. Ali, do you have any comments on that list?
No, there's another slide, but for that list, no.
Oh, well, I was going to let you have the other slide.
Then no, that slide's fine. If I may say something.
Yes, please.
I did send out a message, but that was sort of a forward of Steve's idea, and I think Steve had this great idea that maybe not for the people involved, we don't just endorse the communique ourselves, but we get our friends and our communities. If I'm on five different lists, then I sort of forward this solicitation of endorsement to those five different lists, so that we actually do spread the word.
A pyramid scheme.
Ah.
I think it's a good idea. And I've already started that today. I actually started an email last night for a larger group within inside my company, but I will try and follow through on that. So then I guess we're on slide two, and if there's nothing else on this, no comments, then we can move on to slide three. And Ali?
Sure, yeah. So the website that was prepared for this year, sorry, was someone saying something?
Okay. Brilliant website.
Thanks. So the website that was prepared for this year was really a one-off. It's not any way to do it properly. So going forward, we're looking to move that to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki format or framework, which will actually give us a content management system. And to that end, actually, as Peter pointed out, there's some promising work on faceted browsing. If you follow the link on the third bullet point, those people have actually been able to implement a pretty good-looking professional website on top of this framework. So we look forward to working with them to creating something like that, where we actually do use ontology in semantic technologies to create a website for the summits. And if anyone is interested, I think there's an upcoming ontolog presentation on what they did and how they did it. So I don't think there's a timeline yet for when this migration should occur, but I think a lot of that depends on coalescing team volunteers that would help with the migration to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki. Yeah, so that is it for the website. Are there any questions? All right.
Okay, good. Thanks, Ali and Todd. I guess next will be experiences with the ontology quality and big systems, basically focusing on the survey. Amanda, Mike, and Simon. Star 7.
Okay, this is Amanda. We'll wait a second while Peter gets the slides up.
This up?
Okay. Okay, thank you. So this is just a quick status update on the survey that was put together based on the discussions in the throughout the summit and that we released during the symposium. Let's go to slide 2. So the survey was here's the lessons learned from that. There were lots of unforeseen but probably foreseeable complexities to getting the survey together. So a lesson learned for next time would be to plan on it and taking that long if one's going to do such a thing. In any case, we finally got it finalized and released during the symposium. That was announced live and I think on the summit discussion list, and I did some personal posting about it. I'm not sure whether others did. We immediately got responses, within hours of that announcement, even though the one by mail went out late at night here. Of course, we have participants where it was not late at night. So we got this first batch. Now, can we go on to the next slide, please? Slide 3.
We're on slide 3 now.
Okay, I'm just lagging here. After that first batch, we hit a lull. So at the moment, we have an interesting bunch of responses already, which one could say some things qualitatively about, but we don't have enough to do any quantitative analysis or to really have what we'd want in terms of a representative sample and something that'll really provide the wayfinding mechanism we'd like. It's not entirely surprising given that the sort of drop after the symposium where there's energy right away afterwards, but there's also sort of this people getting to things they've been putting off and so forth. So right now, most summit participants have not responded. A planned next wave of actions has not yet occurred, and that's because of an unplanned, unrelated delay on my part that hijacked my time for pretty much up until yesterday or so from the morning after the symposium. So we have some follow-up actions to do. And if you'd go on now to slide 4. Oh.
We're there.
Okay, there we go. So the first of the first batch of to-dos is to reignite the interest in the summit community and do a second burst of soliciting participation from the summit community. I think that the besides talking about it here, the primary to-do there is to write up a fresh message, sort of reminding people what this is about and why we're doing it, what it could lead to, and how it's valuable to all of us. perhaps including in there the teaser that once you respond to the survey, you can generate the statistics right there on the spot and see yourself how it's going so far. But and circulate this to the summit list and encourage, as we've been discussing, recirculation to all of our individual communities. Slide five. And the second major batch of to-do is to push it beyond the summit community. Now, as I said, I did some posting and broader circulating of it, but I think to someone who hadn't been part of the summit so far, things like the question of the scope of big systems and what is meant by quality and so forth would be sufficiently opaque that they might not turn to it right away. So an alternate introduction to it, I think, is something that we need to write up. And also circulate this to the summit, the summit list, with an encouragement that people pass that along to, you know, other communities they may be part of that they think have relevant experience and don't have, that might not understand that it is relevant to them or why it would be valuable to them from the existing explanation. So, these explainers, I just am seeing Frank's note that, which is correct, that if you follow the link to the survey from the summit webpage, you have to log in, register, before you see the explanation of what the survey is about. So we need to move some of that intro and explainer text onto the summit page around where that link is to address that. So let's see. Is that the last slide in what you have, Peter? I think it is. I started.
Yes, that's
okay. There are some qualitative patterns that we can already see in terms of, which are not terribly surprising given what we've heard, but this just across the 6 respondents and 13 projects that they reported on so far. You see quite a variety of applications and mixed experience. Some things that look to me like jump just eyeballing, where I can see where we need to get make sure that we don't have a particular skew in our respondents. For example, I think right now we're a little heavier on research industry. And we have lots of standards-based ontology experience and no experience with proprietary or in-house representation. So that should be a giveaway that I haven't responded yet for the same reasons I haven't done the follow-up yet. But it stood out to me, since probably half of my career has been in various projects that use entirely in-house or non-standard representation. So to see that that's not represented at all in the survey yet is a good indicator of, you know, we definitely need more breadth. We also, you know, we have some systems engineers, we need more, and so on. Answering a couple of questions that just popped up, no, the notice was not sent to broader lists, and I think it does need more explanation to do so, but I think it absolutely should be. So all that follow-on has to needs to happen, but can happen very shortly, I think. And that's all from here. Questions?
All right.
Oh, Peter's hand is up.
Peter?
Yes, I guess Amender, are you on the speakerphone or something? I seem to be getting echoes.
Oh,
but anyhow, two things. My apologies. I actually really wanted to respond, but I haven't found the time. So give us a little time. I might represent a whole segment of people who would respond, if you nudge us and, and make sure we do it. Secondly is, I don't think we have effectively, get the message out to the, even the Ontology Summit community. If we went back to the statistics slides, we have roughly about 100 more people in the community this year than last. There were 406 last year and 501 on the list this year. So we should really leverage that list, much more.
I agree, and I think part of what I was trying to do is to say that, I don't know if I communicated this effectively, but to say that we don't have a lot of response yet, but I don't think that's because the survey is going to fail. I think it's partly because the post-release push got, delayed, essentially.
And sidetracked.
Yeah.
So I think this is the second time we've got sidetracked. I remember like 3 or 4 years ago when we did on Open Ontology Summit, and right afterwards, someone stepped up and claimed they invented Open Ontology and wanted us to credit her or something. And I remember one comment that Mark Wilson was making to me, and he said, oh, that's terrible. You lose all your momentum that's built up with the summit. And I think it's happening this year too. But it will go away.
Yeah. So I'm still optimistic that we can get a good and useful response that will be beneficial information as a wayfinding indicator. But we're not there yet.
Yeah, the same comment applies to the communique endorsements. With 500 people on the just the Ontology Summit list. So even without going out to the three communities involved, or other people's friends and friends, we should at least get a good portion of those people inside this community to respond.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we have one here, too. I guess next up will be Henson talking about the modeling benchmark challenge that he's initiated. Henson?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The modeling benchmark challenge is a new project which picks up a thread that was discussed quite a lot during the interchanges at the summit. And the thread really is, are our modeling languages up to dealing with the ontologies and the models that we want to represent? And so the idea for that, there's a lot of discussion about that and a lot of opinions, but it seems to me that the thing to do is to really do examples and see how well they work in different languages. This is not to beat up on the languages. This is to understand how different languages might need to evolve. So I'm on chart one, and just one more comment is Peter has been kind enough to put up a site for us, and we are also kind enough to have a mailing list. So I encourage you to join or sign up if you are interested in this. Second chart. So again, our mission or charter is to contribute to the evolution of modeling languages and the formal semantics for these languages. And so to do that, the contribution is to develop examples and to express these examples in different languages and try to do an analysis to see how, where the languages succeed and where they fail. And for the languages that don't have formal semantics, try to understand, what's needed to give them formal semantics. So that's the, currently the charter or intent of this side three. We've already got, several very nice examples, and one of them is from Corey, and you see on the chart 3 on the left is a a graphic depiction of the concept of marriage. And this is an absolutely wonderful example from my point of view. That is, the top part of the picture is the a diagram of modeling, and the bottom part of the picture is a specific instantiation of a marriage. But this is an example, he calls it, and I would too, a composite structure. And it has a lot of very interesting examples, which, in fact, in my opinion, test all of the modeling languages available, both the temporal aspects of it, the integrity constraints on this, the fact that it is, you have variance on the pattern, that is, the pattern of a marriage, and how you talk about instances of a marriage as opposed to instances of the individuals in the marriage. So this is the kind of thing that we want to study. It's not to try to figure out what marriage is, but it's to try to figure out how well our languages are for representing this or expressing this. So keep that in mind, that there will be a lot of different ontological examples in all of this, but the focus is not on the ontology, but on the representation in a modeling language. So I expect that, I haven't done so yet, but with these examples, I would simply have a little write-up on this and then point off to, Corey has this up on Autosite someplace, and so one can just link to that. Also, next chart, chart 4, is one of the other examples that I want to look at, is one that those of you in the that attended the sessions were probably familiar with, is Matthew West's example of the distillation unit. And that has a lot of, again, similar but extremely interesting questions about how you represent it. Not so much the ontology, but to the degree that you, the ontology is stable, how you represent it in a particular language. So going on to chart 5, some of the near-term tasks are to actually figure out exactly how you want to do this on the site. And I think my current idea, unless somebody has a better suggestion, is that we'll just, everybody's asked to document these sort of metadata facets and then either describe it or put a URL to it or insert a text document for it. The next task really is to start entering things and seeing if we have the right kind of organization. So the final thing is simply, what do you think? I'll take questions or comments on this.
Thank you, Hansen. I have a question since
sure.
I'm up on the queue. I'm not sure how much of this is language and how much of this is the constructs that you need to in an ontology to express notions. So, for example, I think in 3 and 4 your slides the obvious starting point would be first order logic. To gauge whether that's sufficient, but that could be probably decided pretty quickly if you required higher order notions. But the real constructs that are required in either the marriage example or Matthew West's distillation example would probably be the actual notions in the ontology that you would express.
Let me comment on that. I would sort of partially agree with you, but to the degree that it is, do you have the right language constructions? And they may be primitives of the language, or they may be defined, whatever. But it is, and as far as starting with first order logic, by all means, but it's very useful, in my opinion, to look at how this works or doesn't work in OWL or in UML or maybe other choices as well.
Okay, so you're thinking of kind of chunking into a knowledge representation or modeling language the notions that would enable systems engineers to express some of these things at a primitive level.
So, for example, is the marriage example in terms of representing it in a modeling language has really, in my mind, the same problems or is pretty much isomorphic to representing an automobile, and it's also the same as representing a molecule. That is, the same problems occur with the same stresses on the different languages. And so it's trying to sort out all of that so that we can determine whether we need new modeling languages, whether we can evolve the ones that we've got, which I believe we can, and if so, exactly how. But again, this is a good forum. I don't ask that everybody, you know, agree with my point of view, but it's a good forum to explore these specific examples to see how they would get represented in FOL or anything else.
Just to continue this, but not for long, there's always a little bit of a tension between putting notions into the language and then, which is at the meta level, and then putting things in the object level, in other words, the ontology level. So sometimes if you build things into the meta level, let's say you define notions such as object and association and class, then you can't maybe express things that you want to express at the object level because you use those. So I don't want to go down that path too much, and I'll stop that question, but we'll continue this in the follow-on.
Great. I would, that's, again, that would be something that you could post and we could, respond to it. Because whether those are things that have to be sorted out and hopefully eventually some consensus, maybe in the distant future, but nevertheless.
And can I have a comment, Ravi, here?
Yeah.
Is this a good time?
Whoever's moderating this.
Ravi.
Sorry, I don't have chat board to come in the queue. The point I want to make is that while we are concentrating a lot in the systems engineering follow-on and the proposed model attempt that you have just described, I think we would go beyond the whole parts or taxonomy kind of relationships, that we would also worry about software integration, standards compliance relating to systems engineering and also relating to these models examples. That's all I want.
Thank you. A quick comment is this is not restricted to engineering because certainly the examples, many of them are not engineering examples.
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't want to get into the, you know, standards business and so on. Now, I simply want to understand how well different language frameworks work for some collection of problems.
But the languages themselves come from standards efforts.
Of course they do, but the point is I want to bound the problem to taking languages like FOL, OWL, UML, or your other favorite candidate, and say how well do they work, or what are their defects.
And
then later,
mm-hmm.
That might lead to people saying, oh, OMG needs to change some standard someplace.
Yes, yes. I agree, and that's a great goal. I kind of support it, but why restrict it to languages?
because that is what I want to look at.
Okay.
I mean, I want to look at how well the languages we have do the job, and where they fail, where they need improvement.
Something
since people are
to...
using languages a lot, and we know they have some defects, that's a very interesting topic to me.
Yes, yes, Anson. Last point is that as we know that these languages have some kind of meta model they are based on, so whether it's MOF or SIMF that Corey is attempting and things of that sort, they all would be able to only conform to the richness of the metamodel concepts. And I think that's the point Leo was also trying to make, if I understood him correctly.
Yeah, I think that is the point. I think we need to move on here, though, Ravi.
Okay, thank you.
We have a comment from Corey.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Leo's comment a bit, and I agree that there's kind of a fuzzy boundary between the language and the library or the ontology under it. From a user perspective, someone actually doing the modeling, they don't necessarily differentiate that. It's like when they're using Java, they think of Java and all the libraries that go with it. So I think it would be useful to look at the package that people use, the language and ontologies that come with it. You know, for example, the role concept that's in some of the composite things that we were looking at. You may have ontologies for that, but it's not native in the language, so someone just coming to it is not going to see that. So I think we have to look at the entire modeling package. That would include the language and the set of ontologies as they may or may not solve the problems.
Well, I don't particularly disagree with that, but I still want the focus to be on doing examples, not talking about whatever ontologies.
Absolutely. I'm talking really about ontologies that are more almost used at the meta level. In other words, so let's say
yeah.
somebody had an ontology for roles and compositions,
right.
That they would use to enhance first order logic.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. So anyway, those are things that we can all, if you care to post something on the email, then maybe that's where we can clear up or, whatever, or at least lay out what different positions are. That's exactly what I'd like to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I think that I think your interest is in focusing on the problem that you have when you're doing systems engineering, various aspects of systems engineering, and then seeing what's required, whether
yes.
it's a language, whether it's an ontology, I mean, proceeding from the problem first.
Yes.
Okay, we have Pavitra. Star 7, you're probably muted. Pavitra?
Yes.
Okay, we hear you.
Okay. In systems engineering, ontologies is part of design, high-level design, and it's not necessarily the programming language that we're talking about. It has to address the design, but it has to address implementation, and it's more development of the concepts. But ontology and systems engineering is high-level design. The programming languages that you choose have to support them, but they are different layers of life cycle, and it exists. As long as there is software development or system development, the development of ontology existed, and it with modeling languages. For example, UML is a modeling language versus Java is a software development programming language. We, in this group, sometimes people use such terminology interchangeably, and that, I think, causes conceptual confusion. I don't think we should be doing that. For ontology, we should be using modeling tools or terminology like UML or want to do rather than saying Java. Java is not an ontology programming language. It's a programming language, software development programming language. It's not an ontology development tool.
Well, of course, and I don't think that we intended to say that. And let me again repeat, this is not about engineering per se. It may be applicable to engineering, but I expect that most of the examples will come from science and, you know, family relationships and other areas than that.
Ontology as a whole, not necessarily.
Well, again, let me repeat that my intent here is to primarily focus on how well you can express models in different languages, modeling languages. That obviously involves ontology, but I'm certainly not, do not want to in this forum engage in any discussion about what a marriage means. That's somewhere else.
I don't think that. All I'm saying is somebody used the word, somebody used a couple of terminologies like software, systems engineering and Java. And I wanted to say even in ontology that people have to develop ontology even in systems engineering, which is high-level design, part of the life cycle. And the tools that we use are more like UML and mode of modeling language languages. Java is a development language, and not to use them interchangeably. That's confusing not to do that in this forum. That's all I said. Java is not a modeling language. It's a development
language. Of course not. Okay, folks, I think we need to move on. I think, Pavitra, you need to join this effort that Henson's created, this modeling effort after the summit. But we need to kind of finish what we have to do here. Thank you.
Thank you.
What we want to do is move on to kind of follow-up action planning. Michael, we're going to have a discussion, and Michael will be kind of the moderator of the discussion, but we don't have a whole lot of time left. Michael?
Okay, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So for follow-up action planning, I think we want to specifically focus the discussion on opportunities that opened up in the course of the summit in regards to the topic this year of big data. And a couple of ideas, I think that were a couple of categories of ideas that were floating around were ideas like, the big data challenge, coming up with some kind of challenge problem from the ontolog perspective, any possibilities of grant proposals where we could use a particular grant as a way of coordinating activity. There's nothing that coordinates people more than money. Or any other kind of other endeavors, inter-program kinds of projects, or other kind of collaborative of efforts among industry, government, academia, what have you, that might kind of further the work that we started with the summit and the symposium. So, are there any? I didn't have any ideas along these lines, but I think the purpose for today is to at least identify some of these possibilities, and maybe even to nominate some champions, to use, I guess, one of our community's favorite words. And I guess following Todd, if beer helps coordination, then perhaps we could look for sponsorship from breweries. Any points?
Michael, I thought we could just break into your basement.
Okay, that's true, yeah.
Okay, Peter?
I just wanted to let everyone know that we started a suggestion page last year, which is ontology summit/suggestions. It's not specific for a particular year. We want to accumulate that because maybe topics suggested for next year didn't get picked up next year, but 3 years later, which did happen. Actually, the summit, which had the theme on education and training, was a theme that was suggested like two years before it actually happened. So we are accumulating, of course, we divided that into sections. So besides what we want to capture at today's call, sometime later, feel free to go to that wiki page and enter suggestions. Also, today's suggestions will be seriously looked at, because every year after we compile the proceedings from this postmortem section, someone has been, and last year was Steve, who had gone through all the suggestions with a fine comb and then compiled a list of suggested themes and brought it up when we were going to start planning for the next year. So please document. If you don't get that captured into the chat, your ideas will be lost forever. No one is going through the audio recording to make a transcript of this, so don't look for that.
Right, and so I just wanted to split our remaining time up into two chunks, if you will, or this segment at least. One is follow-up action planning with respect to this year's topic, and then we'll move on to brainstorming on suggestions for Ontology Summit 2013. Okay, so I just want to keep those two separate. I noticed, like, on the agenda sheet here, there's the referencing, for example, the NITRD Big Data Challenge and related NSF NIH program solicitations. Does anyone online today have anything more specific to say about those two? If not, then what we can just do is try to keep this discussion on the mailing list, I suppose.
Steve?
Sorry, Leo. My chat window is kind of covered here. I'll do a better job of managing here. Steve? So, Steve, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. One thing that occurs to me is that if you think back to the very first Ontology Summit, we had invited a couple of NIH, NSF program managers, and out of CISE. They actually took the trouble to go back and look at their awards to find out if any of them had relations to ontology, and they were surprised how much did. So, I mean, it seems like one thing we could do, of course, is to try and continue to drive that point that NSF actually does a lot more ontology than they may be aware of. It's more of an advocacy kind of activity rather than a technical activity.
Okay. Peter?
Yes, I mean, first to second Steve's citation of the NSF program management. I still, of course, over the last few years, the NSF program management was extremely helpful, but there actually weren't specific programs that are applicable. And what is different this year is that there are actually like 10 to 15 programs that are soliciting, and most of them are applicable to us. Of course, a lot of them are tagged with a big data label, but since even in our communique, we claim that we can have as ontologists or ontologists teaming up with system engineers have a lot to contribute to that discussion or that area. So I think seriously teaming up and sending grant proposals into those would be most appropriate. Some of them are so those solicitations are actually closing up. So yeah, please do it. I mean, find your favorite pal. Now that you know what most people in this community think, I mean, they're people with the right chemistry. They're people with the wrong chemistry. Then don't pick those and team up. The other point that I want to add, which Ellie has already alluded to in his slides about the website, is that on May 10th we have invited Joe Natividad, who worked on the NYC Facets site, who just got the grand prize from the New York City, and the New York City mayor is now their advocate, and New York City has moved on to open data, and Joel actually piggybacking on our summit theme, actually labeled that effort as big open data for New York City. And they are doing this besides the tool, which is the Semantic Media Wiki, which is of interest. He has actually built a site that, I mean, according to his presentation, we'll have to sort of corner him and get more information out of him on May 10th. But his presentation actually claims that they applied ontologies, inferencing, semantic mapping, query federation, statistics, pattern recognition, multivariate analysis, forecasting, automatic linking, feeds and notification, faceted search. I mean, all the words that we were hoping that we could apply into some, put into some applications, and they claim they've done that. I mean, plus all the mathematics. I mean, they probably have an operations researcher in there as well. But please, one, come to that May 10th meeting. Two, they're actually looking to us. Joel understands, I mean, they are Semantic Media Wiki developers and systems developers. They are not ontologists. They are looking to us to team up with them and provide the ontology expertise. So I've asked Joel to make his solicitation again when he comes on May 10th, and hopefully a few of us who have serious contributions that could bring them to the table should specifically maybe come join their team to help New York City. New York City wants to be sort of provide some city-level leadership in terms of open data, and it's a huge opportunity that we can see ontologies and semantic technologies going into the mainstream through this opportunity. Actually, not a lot of us, I mean, win grand prizes with the work we do, but Joel just did, so let's piggyback on his success, and I promise him that I'll try my best to rally support behind this effort, and he wants to team up. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Peter. So I guess if there are no one kind of stepping forward as a challenge, as a kind of a champion for anything specific along these lines besides the one that Peter just mentioned. Oh, Leo, you have a comment.
No specific challenge except a longer-term strategy, I think. I think we should actually try to bridge the gap between us and the semantic web community. We sometimes seem to alienate them, I think, simply because we understand that first order logic and, you know, more expressivity is important. And they've kind of bought into a specific knowledge representation language, and so they feel perhaps alienated. But realistically, I think a lot of us advocate using semantic web technology for much of the everyday problems that we address. So, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I think that somehow we have to, you know, be more active and invite, you know, collaborative participation with them.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah, you're right. We need to be building. Our community is so small, we need to be building bridges, not walls. Okay, so we have 10 minutes left. Is there anything that people want to say specifically with this next point here, getting the word out in terms of diffusion of the communique and related materials into the wider community? Any specific proposals to along those lines? Okay. Well, I guess this will be something that we get a champion to kind of carry this a little further. That would be good. I suppose that would be the organizing committee, I guess. So I guess everyone is just itching to, thanks, Frank. Yeah, we tweet about the communique, et cetera. Yeah. I think everyone's itching, though, to actually do a little brainstorming in the remaining few minutes that we have for the meeting on suggestions for topics and themes for next year's Ontology Summit.
Michael, can you hear me?
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment on your question you'd raised there, which was, I know that I personally, for example, am waging a little campaign in the standards community working on the smart grid, for example, which is a UML-dominated world, and a very small number of us are in there trying to advocate and show how even semantic web technologies, not to mention formal ontologies, can go a long way to helping in a number of ways in that world. So I think there are examples. As I say, I'm trying to make semantic believers out of all of them in the smart grid, and that's just one particular domain of the standards world, and there are probably many, many others.
Right. Yeah, and I think what's a little bit different for us is that within the Ontology Summit and broader Ontolog community, I think we know what each other's doing. I think it's just a question of actually, you know, kind of investing some time individually and in small groups to actually kind of craft, whether it's a proposal or some kind of position paper that can be used to kind of carry the ontology ball a little further towards the goal line. I think that's kind of our challenge as a community, is more time and coordination rather than the usual problem of, I didn't realize that's what you were doing, and never really kind of getting together. Okay, so let's just open it up then for brainstorming for next year's topic. Although I feel this is sort of like the U.S. primaries. You know, at the beginning, we have all these big ideas, but by the time November rolls around, a whole new dark horse comes up and wins. I think Corey has proposed semantic integration as a possible topic. That's one that's near and dear to my heart. Anybody else? There have been numerous points in the chat, but if somebody wants to elaborate on their point orally, that would be great at this point.
Actually, can I suggest if people have a candidate theme to reduce it to a one-liner that looks like a theme that we would adopt, like
okay.
Ontology-based standards or towards ontology-based standards or things like that. I mean, you know what I mean.
Okay, everyone, unleash your sound bites. Commencing now. Ali.
Hi. I'd really be interested in ontologies and information systems. So a summit devoted to how are ontologies actually being used? And I see that really building on what's been done in the past few year summits, but at a more fine-grained detail as to how exactly are they being used? How do they fit into a larger system?
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, the idea of kind of tying together previous year summits and kind of integrating them together is also rather attractive. I know that the idea of ontology quality kind of has percolated through several summits, never quite kind of always the bridesmaid sort of thing, never quite the bride. Do people think that that would be a topic that could kind of fill an entire summit? I guess Amanda's gone. She was a previous champion. Leo.
Yes, I think we've talked in the past about ontology evaluation, which, you know, brings up notions of quality, validation, verification, consistency, you know, review, and so forth, and including actually metadata associated with that. So I think that's a good topic, and ontology evaluation is complex enough that it really could be a focus of ontology summit.
That's very appealing to me as well. I just captured your point there in the chat, because that could include quality, et cetera, and we could even include aspects of previous summits in a way. I mean, you could say how standard ontologies for standards, how they help with compliance and conformance. It could be along Ali's line of, you know, how well does this ontology work within the context of a particular implementation? That would be also, that would be good. It could actually fit in even into the benchmark discussion that we were just having a half hour ago, of Henson's, idea.
Ravi here, I want to make a comment.
Go ahead, Ravi.
Mike, there are three integrating themes, semantic integration game. Obviously I would use interoperability as well as part of that. And Leo's thing came on evaluation. Ali's came on domain proliferation or domain examples of use of these ontologies in the context of the 5-6 years of summits we have had. So I think these three themes can be integrated into one topic.
Right.
Maybe we call it evaluations or domain examples or whatever. Whatever the word crafting I'm not doing online right now.
Right, and this is, what we're doing today is just kind of brainstorming and capturing, I guess, some ideas that can planting the seeds, for when we actually have the, I guess, more formal kickoff. It would be sometime November. Mm-hmm. Leo, you have another point?
Yes, ontology and databases. So we touched on that a little bit with the big data notions. Even big data is getting away from relational databases, but we know that in the past, relational databases have been basically the structural models that people use for what's the equivalent of ontologies. And so if we could bridge the gap between, ontologists and the database folks, including the new big data folks, I think that would be useful.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Any other ideas? We have just a few minutes, and I think there's just some other points, I guess, that Leo would like to make in terms of summary and wrap-up. Although there are four people rapidly typing in the chat session, so we could let that wave go through. Whose point was it? I forgot here. I think was it Corey's? No. Somebody's, maybe it was Corey's point. The time frame between the initial planning meetings and start of the virtual session seemed short, made it difficult to plan. That was Corey's comment from early in today's meeting. I guess traditionally we've had a meeting sometime in December to have like a meeting like this that's dedicated to brainstorming over the topic. We may want to have this discussion in more detail perhaps earlier, as Corey is suggesting. Maybe even in October, to kind of hit the topic in October and then have that kind of settle down in people's minds and then have the kickoff meeting in November.
Yeah, I guess I would second that, Michael.
Yeah, just to get the terminology straight, the launch meeting is still January, if we want to sort of to do it January, February, March, 3 months, but we could move the organizing committee set up slightly earlier so that we have a bit more time in between.
Yeah. But also to pick the topic a bit earlier, so it gives people a chance to kind of think about it a bit more as well.
Yeah, we work backwards on the critical path.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion.
Go ahead, Pavita.
About big data. Now, big data seems to be the limelight of recent conversation everywhere. Probably an ontology group can develop big data specific ontology modeling, and probably we should have some sessions. I know we did discuss some of it, but we spoke in terms of large systems versus big data. Big data specifically means, all these large data that we receive from satellites and all of that. That's, and all this data accumulated on the net and internet and all that. Probably we should have sessions on modeling big data, specific to big data, considering the wall. I didn't see a lot of that. It's very new. It would be interesting to spend some time doing that. I would like to do that if anybody is interested.
I think one possibility, we spent the past 3-4 months focusing on the summit. But, you know, over the rest of the year, the Ontolog Forum kind of has a life of its own. And, I mean, if people want to suggest particular topics for a particular Thursday meeting, we can continue things that way as well. So, I mean, those, Peter, as far as I know, I mean, we're all pretty like exhausted from this year's summit, but at some point we'll want to start planning, kind of future Ontolog sessions, Thursday Ontolog sessions. So, you know, we're free to kind of take some of the ideas we've talked about today in terms of follow-up on this year's or other issues that have popped up, random issues even, and continue the discussions those ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Leo and I were just talking about it, on a review of our 10-year anniversary on Ontolog. One thing is, in the beginning years, we used to have a very regular sort of Ontolog administrative meetings, planning events, and so on. We are going to resume that fairly soon, maybe do it once every month or once every 2 months or something.
Right. Yeah, so Pravitra, if you're interested in furthering what you were just discussing, you could start preparing some ideas for who would be participating in such an upcoming Ontolog session.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay, I'm just going to – I think we're pretty well at that limit. I'm just going to pass this back to Leo, I guess, for any concluding comments.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Yes, I'll keep this short, folks. We want to make sure that the communique gets known in the community, in the larger community, and that we send this out to get endorsed. So if you haven't endorsed it and you haven't expressed the interest in endorsing by your community, that you do so now. We have a lot of ideas for the future, and we're going to be talking about those in discussion list. But also at least in the virtual sessions that we're having planned for the next few weeks, we're going to bring up a lot of ideas that may help us for collaboration purposes, but also solidifying the theme for next year, or at least giving us thought about that. So I thank you for your participation today, and I apologize for going over the limit here, but I think we've been pretty successful this year, and it's really due to you folks. So if there's no other comments, I'll just adjourn today. Thank you.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great session.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.